3 minutes, 40 points, 11 rebounds, 15 assists. What a win for Washington.
Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two.
Right, Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Porter gets Bradley for three. What a shot! You talk about a rushing shot.
Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network, your daily news from local experts. Today we are in Capital One Arena, after what it seems to be an eternity of a game, three overtimes. You heard that correctly. I haven't eaten anything today. I feel like I'm gonna fall on my face.
Me too.
Quentin is here with me, which is amazing. It's unfortunate that he has to be here for one of these games, but it all was worth it because the Wizards got the win. So, yeah. I mean, I don't even know where to start. It was a very emotional game.
Before we start, shout out to Chase Hughes for finding us this closet to record in. He's the man.
Shout out to Chase.
I think I'm the good luck charm. I mean, I'm 1-0 right now. We went into, triple overtime, and we got a win. But also, guys, remember, we're in, some random office room right now. So if you hear some background noise and stuff, that's people doing their jobs. Yeah,
don't mind them. They're probably setting up for a Caps game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was amazing. We beat the worst team in the Western Conference. They are now 8-25. We are now 13-20.
Yay.
Good for us. Shout out to Kelly Oubre, who is back at the vault. It was so hard to watch him because he came onto the court and it seemed like the whole place was cheering for him. His former teammates were cheering for him. And he looked very happy, but also very sad, which can't blame him. Checked in about 5 minutes left into the first quarter. And yeah, I was trying really hard not to cry.
We both were.
Yeah.
And when he checked in, it was he was having sort of a slow game. It wasn't the best game. But then as soon as the fourth quarter came around, I was like, watch, the closer this game gets, Kelly's going to leave his mark on the game. And he definitely left his mark. We're looking at the stat sheet here. He had 20 points. 5 rebounds, no assists for all those people that say he never passes the ball, but he had a really good game. So to see him come back, and we talked to the guys after the game, and they all miss him. They all said, what was the common theme? It was weird.
It was weird.
Said it was weird playing against him,
but they were happy.
Yeah, they were happy for him. And I think even Markieff said, if they do hit a game winning shot, we'd rather it be Kelly Oubre than anybody else on the team. So the guys really respect him. They love him. Thomas Bryant had a crazy night. And one of the first things he said was, that's my guy. I love Kelly. It's good seeing him on succeeding on another team. So, yeah.
Quentin was predicting that Kelly would actually hit the game-winning shot.
I was hoping for it.
He looked like, he would go to the three-point line on the side, and we thought for sure he was going to get one, but
Devin Booker
us,
was not passing that joint to him.
No, he was not.
He was not passing
to him at all. In fact, the person he passed to the most was probably the rookie, DeAndre Ayton. And if you can take away anything from these overtimes, you should know that it was literally battle of the rookies.
Yeah.
Thomas Bryant, DeAndre Ayton, it seemed like every possession had something to do with them, and they would score every single time.
Yeah, it was crazy. Thomas Bryant, 14 for 14. He was one shot and make away from tying Wilt Chamberlain for a 15 for 15 night, which has only been done one time. So he had a crazy game. He said he was just active. He was playing in the flow of the game, doing what he had to do. To help his team win. He was showing so much effort, so much poise for such a young guy. And without Thomas Bryant tonight, they don't win this game, obviously.
No, they don't.
Good to see these role players, because every player right now is a valuable asset to this team. But it's good to see these guys that typically don't get a lot of points and a lot of minutes to come through and step up, especially with John Wall's absence.
Thomas Bryant had career highs in obviously everything that he did tonight. 31 points, 13 rebounds, 14 for 14 from the field, like you said, and 36 minutes. I mean, when we talked to him, he kind of was just like shocked himself. Like he still didn't believe it. It's like, we asked him, we're like, you didn't know that you didn't miss? And he was like, well, no, I was just out there and playing the game. I wasn't, I was zoned in, I was locked in, I was doing my thing.
He was locked on.
He was locked on. Exactly. He was locked on the team.
That was a layup right there.
Thank you, Thomas Bryant, for being locked on.
But I love that from him. Like, he's not out there stat chasing or anything like that.
No.
He's just trying to do everything he can to help this team win a game. He said he was super down because they lost to the Houston Rockets like that. And he said they just wanted to get back on the streak. So he comes out, he plays his tail off. And that's all Scott Brooks has been preaching all season long. The guys look like they're lacking effort. Even Ariza, when he came in, they said they don't have effort. So for Bryant to do that shows a lot of effort. And a lot of these other guys had a lot of effort tonight, too. That's all Brooks can really ask for, and they delivered.
It's just incredible that we can get that kind of productivity from a rookie. And it's just really satisfying to see just a humble guy who has nothing to lose on the court just give it his all and not really think into it too much. And I kind of wish that a lot of other players on this team had that mindset.
Absolutely.
I think we would be in a lot better shape if I'm getting kind of depressed now. I'm like, I don't know. I'm super happy, but I'm also really, I'm a fan. I'm greedy. You know, I always want more from this team. So I wish more people would play like Thomas Bryant. No shots to anyone specific. This is like an overall thing. Besides that, starting five for the Wizards were Ariza, Beal, Green, Bryant, and Satoransky. How did you feel about Satoransky today?
I liked what he was doing. I mean, during the game, I saw that somebody tweeted, I don't know who tweeted, they were like, imagine, oh, it was Josh from NBA, Locked On NBA. He was like, imagine how good Thomas Bryant would be if he was a starter on another team. And I was like, I mean, he has a point. Thomas Bryant this whole time.
Yeah, I was about to be
Tomas Satoransky. It's 11-16,
yeah,
guys.
We're done.
We're poop. But Tomas Satoransky, he was out there. He was playmaking. He was doing he had a lot of good things. I know as time went on, they stopped running plays. They started falling back to ISO basketball. So by the fourth quarter, the first overtime, the second overtime, it was not a lot of ball movement. And that's why the game was so close. But through the first three quarters, I mean, it was competitive because everybody was getting their touches. It was, the ball was moving, and you know, no shots again. But you know, last year when it was Tomas running the offense alongside Bradley Beal, it was team wins, quote unquote, coming for Marcin Gortat. And tonight was a team win. Everybody filled the stat sheet up. I mean, Jeff Green had 20, Thomas Bryant 31, Beal went for 40, Tomas went for 17, Markieff had 20 off the bench.
It's like, just crazy.
Everybody did their part, and you know, like Scott Brooks said in the post game, if they would have lost tonight, he said he wouldn't even have made the trip to Indiana because, yeah, he would have been that depressed. But
yeah, me too, right?
I mean, oh, yeah, y'all should have saw Becca. She was mad depressed up there. She was like, yo, what are they doing out there? And I almost caught her slipping on this one selfie. And she got me. I had y'all with the quality content, but I missed my shot. But yeah.
I think, to quote myself during the game, I think I said, put me down, please.
Yes.
Please help me.
This is torture was one of them. This is like jail. Is this how I'm going to go out? She had a few of them, and I was just chuckling to myself because she was going through it. But she's a diehard, so it's expected.
Yeah, that was a very difficult time in my life, especially overtime after overtime after overtime. And it almost looked like we would have gone into a fourth overtime.
I wouldn't have minded.
Oh, I know you wouldn't have minded. Me, I was done. Yeah. I really need to. I was just like, please, knowing that we have to go talk to Scott Brooks, talk to everyone in the locker rooms.
Yeah.
I just like didn't want that. Like, yeah. We're here at the Capital One Arena. It is now 11:18, almost midnight, just chilling here casually doing the podcast.
We're so committed.
I know. I love how committed we are. I love how dedicated we are to this podcast. So
yeah.
Hopefully everyone listens to this because this is pretty important.
They
this
better.
Is pretty serious.
They definitely better.
Kelly blew a kiss to the fans during a free throw.
He was blowing so many kisses.
He loves the fans. I went into the Suns locker room after the game, and what he did say was that he was happy to be back because he loves the fans. He's always going to love DC. He's always going to love the fans. And I think his energy was pretty, like, positive for the most part.
Yeah.
As positive as you could be. I mean, he got traded, like, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
And he's already back here for another team, that's got to be really difficult.
The timing is so crazy with that, how that whole thing went down. You get Ariza, he immediately plays against Houston, who was his team prior, and then he plays against Phoenix, and then Kelly Oubre's back in DC. It's just so crazy to think about. But yeah, Kelly did his thing. He gave the fans a show. And it was weird watching, like, when Kelly would do something good, people would be like, yay, I mean, oh, I mean, yeah. So they didn't know if they wanted to cheer for him because he was a Suns player or because he used to be in D.C. So people were kind of, you know, they were in between. But there's one little kid behind me. He kept saying, bring back Kelly, sign Kelly this offseason. I was like, yo, little man, it's not going to happen. Like, sit down. But I didn't want to crush his dreams like that. But, yeah, I mean.
Would have crushed my dreams, too.
These fans love Kelly, man.
These fans love Kelly. I saw so many Oubre jerseys in the crowd tonight.
Oh, I'm definitely getting a Suns jersey.
I'm getting a Suns jersey.
No doubt. The black one is sweet. I love the black jersey.
I love the black one as well. Yeah. I would take either one, but the black one is pretty serious.
Pretty dope. Pretty dope.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss more of the game and hopefully what's to come tomorrow in Indiana. Stick around. Thanks, guys, for listening to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network. I'm Becca, here with my co-host, Quentin. We're in Capital One Arena. We're in a closet right now doing a podcast, but shout out to Chase Hughes. He does his podcast, so he knows all the quiet places, and yeah, it's cool to have connections like that.
Definitely.
Otherwise, we would be recording in the media room with a bunch of writers who would not be happy listening to us.
Yeah, we had to get out of there.
So, honestly, I've never really had a chance to see DeAndre Ayton play, but I was super...
There goes the card again. What did we tell y'all about background noise?
Okay, we warned you, so bear you're going to have to accept it. I was so impressed by him, and apparently his performances, like, that's not a regular for him because he averages 16 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
So that really impressed me, but I'm kind of, like, prideful because, like, our rookie did better. So, hair flip, that was amazing.
I mean, he showed off tonight. And, of course, the triple overtimes helped him out. But he was dominating from the jump. I think he had a double-double after the first quarter. So, but what was equally surprising is how most of the points came from the paint in the first quarter. Like, they were just attacking Ayton on defense, and Ayton was coming right back and attacking them on offense. So, it was good to see an old-school, like, big man battle.
Yeah.
Like, Thomas Bryant versus DeAndre Ayton. I don't think anybody would have thought that would have been the storyline of the night.
Right.
But it was good to see. Like Becca said, this is my first time seeing DeAndre Ayton as well. And there's a reason why he went, what, number two in the draft. Like, it's a reason why he went so high. So that guy has a really good ceiling, high ceiling. And it's impressive to see it up close.
I was just stunned by him. Stunned by Bryant, obviously. But to see talent like that, just like raw talent, just like battling each other, that's for sure not something we see every day.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think someone should do a welfare check on Bradley Beal. I hope he's okay. I hope he will be fine tomorrow. Hopefully he's asleep right now wherever he is. I don't think so. He's probably checking up on his child.
Yeah.
But
he's had practice with late nights though. The new baby, you know. He's had some late nights as a dad, but I don't think any of those late nights involved him playing what, 58 minutes? And when he played 53 minutes, excuse me. And
Ariza had 54.
And they played tomorrow at 5. That's crazy.
Like, how are they supposed to carry on like this is normal? I mean, I will say though, during the first couple overtimes, I love that first couple overtimes because there were several. Bradley Beal seemed like he couldn't stay. Like, you know, he couldn't stand up. Like, every time he had the ball, he would just fall over
and,
you know, give out. But he got a second win, like, the third overtime, and he was okay. So I don't know where that came from, but I'm happy. Otherwise, it would have been a huge problem because Beal did cause some turnovers that did result in some Suns points.
Well, like, late in the game, especially when you get tired, you start settling. And he and Tomas Satoransky, and a lot of these guys, Ariza, Jeff Green, even though Jeff did hit some big threes, they were settling for jump shots. You know, Beal loves the step back and the turnaround fadeaway. So he was settling for so many jump shots. And you saw when he got that second win in, what, the third overtime, he's attacking the rim. He's finishing. And from the first quarter, his finishing was impeccable. Up and unders. He had English off the glass, high off the glass. And he was showing off his finishing. So to get back to his roots in the third overtime really allowed this team to get the W. And, I mean, hey, we're tired. I know tired. The Wizards are tired. They have a game tomorrow at 5 p.m. And we have I have church in the morning. So, Becca, any last thoughts? Any predictions for tomorrow before we get out of here?
Yeah, it's going to be a loss.
A loss?
It's going to be a loss, but it's going to be a close loss.
Yeah.
Can we just, before we close, I just want to say that Pusha T was courtside.
Yo, what was, I did not understand, why was Pusha T here? Like, does he have a concert?
Well, he is from Virginia Beach.
He is from the beach.
And he is a John Wall fan.
Okay.
But John Wall was not playing.
He let everybody down, including Pusha T. Wow, John. You're sick, huh, buddy?
So, was Wall injured? I really never understood what happened there.
He had flu-like symptoms. Okay, he didn't go to morning shoot around. But he was dancing.
If he had a flu, he must have had a fever, too, because he was going off.
He was Millie rocking. You showed me that video. He was Millie rocking. He was doing everything.
He was pretty supportive of his teammates on the side. If I was sick, I'd probably be at home sleeping, but
it was good to see him, like, alive. Like, mm-hmm. We've only seen the Wizards depressed, down, in a corner, just heads held low. And to see, I haven't seen John Wall smile and dance or any
like
of that.
Ever. In a long time.
And it's been a long time. So, to see him just interacting with the teammates and just, I mean, hopefully this is a turning point for this team. I know Wizards fans are hoping. But there still are some glaring issues on this team. So this is kind of like a Band-Aid over a cut here.
Of course. Quentin cannot
of course.
Let the podcast go without having that one thing.
Shout out to my boy Trey, man. You know, I'm a Debbie Downer till I die. So I got to go back to my roots here. Good win. What's my Debbie Downer points before we leave? Some of those rotations were questionable. Like, one time I saw Chasson, Tomas, Sam Decker, Ron Baker, and somebody else in the game. I didn't like how Troy Brown didn't get any minutes. And do I have any more Debbie Downers? No, I thought it was a great win. It was a great win. You pull one out. Even though the Suns suck, they were on a 4-game winning streak. You beat KO. It's a lot of energy in the building. You win at home. You protect home court. Good teams do that. Playoff teams do that. And if they want to make this push for the postseason, it starts against the teams like the Suns. So they got a good test in Indiana tomorrow.
Let's bring that momentum on the road because we know that we struggle on the road. And hopefully we will get a win. I hope I'm wrong, honestly, because I would love to get two back-to-back wins and the third overtime thing. Just my brain is broken. Sorry, guys. Like, I gotta go. Like, I'm done here. Thank you for listening to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network. I'm Becca. I'm here with Quinn. See ya.
DC family. Good night.
Bye.